Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom. It's the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast, and I am Jason Thomas. It's been a few weeks since we've been on, since the Chiefs' last game with the Patriots, and, you know, life is busy. I'm sure everybody out there kind of knows how it is, and there's a lot of Chiefs coverage and stuff now, a lot of podcasts, a lot of good writing out there, so I'm just going to put a podcast when I have time, and I really appreciate everybody out there that's listened and stuff. I really do. Now let's get down to some Chiefs business. First off, how great was it to see Patrick Mahomes win that MVP award? First time a Chief has ever won it. And he also won Offensive Player of the Year. I was just a tiny bit shocked that he won both of them. Because, you know, there was so much talk about Drew Brees the last few weeks of the season. I kind of thought maybe he might win that as kind of a consolation prize. But nope, Patrick Mahomes got them both, as he should have. You know, one of the three greatest seasons probably ever for a quarterback in his first season as starting quarterback for the Chiefs. And congratulations to him. And hopefully, you know, the future goes amazingly for this awesome guy and leader of our Chiefs team. The next big news is, you know, that Bob Sutton got fired. It was something, you know, I think a lot of us thought was going to happen. A lot of people thought it should have happened, you know, in the last few years. I gotta say, I was pretty Team Sutton up until about midway last season, and then I started kind of having my doubts. And you know, I don't know that he's a terrible coach. Sometimes you just run your path, and you went as far as you can with a group of players and a certain team, and he'd reach that point. The Chiefs' new defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. I like him. You know, first thing that comes to mind is that Giants defense from 2007-08. The thing about that defense, it had some phenomenal players. And then, you know, he went to the Rams as a head coach, and it went terribly. I think he was something like 10-38 as the head coach. That just wasn't his jam. And then he became the Saints defensive coordinator after that. I believe kind of a last-minute hire after the whole Greg Williams Bounty Gate debacle, and had a god-awful season, one of the worst in the history of football for a defense. They did give up the most yardage in history for a defense. And then, you know, he ended up later back with the Giants as the defensive coordinator, and he was, you know, some mixed results. If you look at his defensive stats as a whole, the part that scares me a little bit is that his best defenses don't give up many points, but they give up a lot of yardage. And who does that sound like? It sounds a lot like Bob Sutton. But then again, if you think, if we had Bob Sutton's defenses back from the first 3 years he was here, we would have won a Super Bowl this year. So maybe some new blood in the coaching staff and you know, a new scheme will be enough to kind of get things going. And Spags, you know, he has been a head coach. He's, I think, a guy from everything I've read and seen that players really love. They want to play for him. They want to give him everything they can. And, you know, I don't want to get into the free agent stuff yet or the draft picks yet, because it's too far away for me to really, you know, say too much right now. But I do believe there are going to be some big changes on this defense. I even wouldn't be massively shocked if Ford and Houston were both gone. You know, I really don't see much of a scenario where they keep them both. Some drastic things would have to happen as far as salary and stuff for that to take place, I believe. And And so I know there are going to be some changes on this defense, and they might not have some of the brand names that we've been used to seeing the last few seasons. Now, one thing that you do hear about Spags is that he likes to blitz. He's aggressive. Where Sutton, especially, you know, the last few years, he's not been that way. Even though he was a disciple of Rex Ryan, he ran, you know, a similar type of defense, but he relied more on, you know, the pass rusher's ability on the outside between Ford and Holly and Houston, some of those guys, to generate the pressure. Spags is not gonna be like that. He runs a 4-3 defense. So, you know, you'll have your four down linemen. And then he likes to blitz, from everything I've read, a safety a lot. You know, it's been popping up kind of all over the place about Landon Collins, the Giants safety who had his best season under Spagnuolo, and he's a free agent this season. But, you know, that year he had 5 or 6 sacks, and, you know, he's Spags is a guy that likes to bring pressure and generate pressure. Honestly, if you can generate pressure that way, it's great because you don't have to pay the big, big money for multiple guys. That honestly, if the offense can find a way to shut down certain players, your whole defense is wrecked. And you don't really want it like that. Defenses just work so much better when they're cohesive. That's just common sense. You know, everybody's playing for each other. Everybody knows their roles. And we saw with how the Patriots won the Super Bowl this year. They brought a ton of pressure. They used their linebackers a ton, moved everybody around, brought pressure up the middle, and just made life hell on everybody. And even on Mahomes in the first half, and it just took some phenomenal, you know, Mahomes and Tua get the Chiefs really rolling in the second half, and everybody just deciding enough of this, you know, we're going to have to get it done. And, you know, they almost did. But it'd be nice to see the Chiefs be able to put that kind of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And I think that's why Spags is here. The good news is the Chiefs do have some talent on defense. I think they're going to find a way to have some money for this next offseason. You know, as much as a good team is going to have. And then on the other side, they got a lot of draft picks. So Veach, this is where he's going to make his money. See, you know, he's done well. I think there are decisions you can criticize, decisions that were obviously very good. And, you know, this draft to me is where I'm really going to start, I guess, judging him, I guess is how I would put it. But we're really going to see what he's made of. If he can make 4 or 5 of these draft picks work out this season and, you know, be starters down the road in the next couple of seasons, you know, this Chiefs team could be very, very good. The other upside is the Chiefs have brought in some very good assistant coaches. As of right now, which is February 9th, the Chiefs haven't even officially fired any of their assistant coaches. They've had some leave, and then they've hired some coaches, reportedly, that take the place of other coaches that were previously here. So there's a lot of unknown. But what's being reported right now is that in the secondary, the Chiefs have brought in Dave Merritt to be the secondary coach, which he's worked with Spags for a long time. He's a secondary coach with the Giants, and he's been with the Giants quite a bit. He's been in coaching for years, mainly as a secondary coach. I believe he was with the Jaguars last year. But, you know, he's definitely got experience and is somebody that Spags can count on. On the defensive line, I'm just being reported today, the Chiefs brought in Brendan Daly, which he was with the Patriots. His tie to Spags is that he was on the Rams coaching staff while Spags was the head coach. And then you know, moved on to another team and then ended up with the Patriots in, I believe, 2015. And he'd been there since then. From what I read earlier, his wife is from the Kansas City area. So, you know, a good one for the wife, you know, a good one for Kansas City, because from everything I've heard, he is a very quality coach. And, you know, that Patriots defensive line does a lot with not many brand names. So he is definitely somebody that, you know, the Chiefs should be excited about getting. The confusing part is Andy Reid's son was the coach of the defensive line. So I'm not sure if he is going to stay with the Chiefs in a different capacity, you know, move to coaching something else in the defense or move to another team to kind of get out of his father's shadow. But either way, that looks like the Chiefs have a new defensive line coach. And then the one that I'm actually really excited about is Matt House. He was Kentucky's defensive coordinator the last two seasons. I'm not the biggest college football fan. I catch a few games here and there, but Kentucky is not known as a football school. And the last 2 years, they've had a very good defense, especially this last season. And he's been their defensive coordinator. Now, he did work under Spags, I believe. He's got a tie to him there in the past. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure I read that. And, you know, as good as he's done at Kentucky, I'm sure he could have got a bigger name job in college football and probably a head coaching job somewhere. But it seems like to me he wants to be an NFL defensive coordinator and maybe a head coach in the future. And I was reading that, you know, his defenses have done very well against spread offenses. And, you know, to be a top 20 college defense in today's college football, there's so much going on in the college game that's not going on in the NFL game, that you just really have to know your stuff. And I am excited about this. And, you know, it's almost like we got Spags, and then we got a guy that if he wants to stay with the Chiefs down the road, Spags, I believe will be 60 this year. And House gives us a guy that, you know, is younger and could possibly take over for Spags a year or two down the road if Spags doesn't want to coach up into his 60s. And it just seems rare to me for the Chiefs to have a really bright, dynamic, a young mind on defense. You know, it's kind of like having two defensive coordinators. Now, House is going to be the Chiefs linebackers coach. That's, I believe, going to be his official title. But I'm sure, you know, he'll be in there helping make the game plans and stuff. And you know, the more, you know, intelligence you can have on the defensive side of the ball, the better. And something else that just kind of, I don't know, tweaked the interest in my mind was, you know, when I read he was so good against the spread defense. His defense was so good against the spread offense. Ugh. Getting tongue twisted here. And Reed, you know, the Chiefs run probably the most wide open offense in the NFL. And this offseason, teams are going to make some changes to try to stop them. And so Reed will be able to pick his mind about how teams are going to try to stop them. And, you know, I'm sure Reed is already scheming plays and thinking about new designs to kind of counteract what the Chiefs are going to see this next season. And man, I'm excited. I can't believe we got to wait like 7 months for football, guys. The last thing I really want to touch on today is tonight is the opening games for the AAF, the American Alliance of Football. I believe the game's on CBS tonight, the first week. And then there'll be, I think, two games a weekend on NFL Network, Saturdays and Sunday nights. And you'll also be able to stream games, things like that. I'm excited about this. They're hoping to be kind of a minor leagues for the NFL. And I think back to NFL Europe, growing up and being able to watch Kurt Warner and Jake Delhomme and seeing some of those names out there, some guys that could obviously play, but just needed a chance. It's something I've thought about a while. How many players, you know, undrafted, just don't go to the right team, or their personalities don't mesh with the coaches, or you know, they have an injury in their first training camp, you know, and they can't put their best foot forward, and they basically just get washed before they ever have a chance to really show what they can do, where the right person can see what they can do. And this will be a good opportunity for some of those guys. This league is ran by Charlie Ebersole and Bill Polian. I think they're kind of the two top guys, but it is funded by a lot of former players, Jared Allen included. And if what I read a few months ago is true, they've got the funding to last, I believe, up to 7 years, really, whether they make any money or not, which is pretty awesome because I think they're going to be successful. The main reason is because they already got the partnership with the NFL to televise some of their games on NFL Network, and the XFL is coming next year. And I don't think the NFL wants to see that succeed in the long run. So whatever they can do to kind of help this American Alliance of Football, or Alliance of American Football. Jeez, I definitely have some dyslexia. If you've ever listened to me, you understand that already. But yeah, there's going to be a market for football. I'll definitely watch it. And there are some names that I know. There's 8 teams. They're basically all spread across the South right now. I believe the closest one to where I am is Memphis. But the Atlanta team, I believe they're the Atlanta Legends. They had some former Chiefs on there. In particular, Aaron Murray, I believe, is going to be their starting quarterback. And, you know, if you're a Chiefs fan, I'm sure you remember the Chiefs drafting him. What was it, 3 years ago now, maybe 4, 2015, I believe. Drafted him in the 5th round. He's the backup quarterback for a couple of years. And really, he did fine. I mean, he didn't show anything, you know, that didn't make me think he'd be a good backup in the NFL. He just never really showed that he would be a top-notch starter either. So after the Chiefs cut him, he kind of bounced around a little bit and then went into broadcasting. He's still a fairly young guy, so I believe he holds the SEC's, you know, all-time passing record. So he can definitely play a little bit. The Atlanta Legends' original head coach was Brad Childress, of course, who had coached with the Chiefs for quite a while, and and under Andy Reid for a long time. He was also the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. He dropped out a couple weeks ago, and another head coach took over. Michael Vick is their offensive coordinator, so he'll be working right with Murray. And I'm just interested to see how this football looks. There are a few rule changes in their game, and I believe some of them are going to be in the NFL in a, you know, within the next couple of years, probably. So it'll be interesting to see how that looks. One is there will be no kickoffs. Teams just get the ball from the 25-yard line, and you go from there. At first, when I first heard that idea a couple years ago, I wasn't very happy with it. But, you know, they've kind of seen the statistics that a lot of the league's big injuries are on kickoff plays. You know, a big chunk of them. And they got to do what they got to do to improve player safety. And the other thing is that, as you know, the guy I work with, Joe, he points out, you don't see that many big plays on kick returns anymore. You just don't. There's always a flag. Every time there's a good kickoff, I'm always looking for yellow. And, you know, that's not really that fun to watch either. Another rule change is that there's no extra points. The teams will have to go for two after they score a touchdown, which is, you know, pretty cool. So I guess the only need for a kicker will actually be field goals. Their overtime rules are going to be that a team gets the ball from, you know, the 10-yard line, and they try to score, and they have to go for two. There's no field goals in overtime. So, you know, that should make for some exciting overtimes. And then there were a couple of rules that I'm just really excited about. I think they will. One is going to be very good for their league, and one could make the NFL a lot more exciting. And that is, if the NFL does get rid of kickoffs, what are you going to do for onside kicks? And of course, now, as we noticed this last year, it's just basically impossible to convert an onside kick. Even previously it was extremely hard. Now it's somewhere around 1% or under that. I mean, it's not going to happen. Especially when a team is ready for it. Now, what this league proposes is that if you're trailing by 17 points, at any time, you can perform their version of an onside kick. Or if it's within the last 5 minutes of the game and you're trailing. But you get the ball on your 28-yard line after you've scored, and it's 4th and 12. And if you can convert that, you get to keep going. If not, you give the other team the ball, you know, pretty good field position right there. Now the Chiefs, they might have been in trouble this season because they had trouble stopping people sometimes. And I'm sure the odds of converting a 4th and 12, as hard as that is to do, is much, much higher than an onside kick. If I had to guess, it's probably in close to 10% range. So 1 out of 10 times your team could get the ball back, which is pretty awesome if you're the team trying to make the comeback, and pretty terrible if you're the other team. But that just means defense is going to be even more important. That's something that I think we will see in the NFL, over the next few years, if not the next couple. And then a rule that's, I think, going to be very good for the AAF is that you can only send 5 rushers at the quarterback. And I know for football purists, they're thinking, what? You can only send 5 guys. That's not football. But hear out their thinking, and I understand it. What they're thinking is that, you know, if you dial up blitzes, the offensive lines on these AAF teams, they haven't played together a lot. They're learning new playbooks. If you send 7 or 8 guys, you're going to kill the quarterback on their teams. And it's just not going to be fun for people to watch if it's completely defensive oriented. And that's kind of what happens, in these startup leagues, is that, the defenses are just more skilled than the offenses, honestly. And this kind of evens that out a little bit. The rule is a little bit more specific even. They can't send anybody from the secondary. So I believe you can only blitz defensive linemen and linebackers. If you have 5 down linemen, those are the 5 that have to come. You can't drop any back and bring any of your other linebackers. Nothing like that. So I don't know if that's a rule that will last in future years, but it's definitely a rule in place this year. And I think it will really help the football look more like football, because I don't expect these first couple games this weekend to be really that high level. They have been practicing for, I believe, since around November. So they've had time together, but they haven't had a lot of real game, experience playing together. But, we give these teams 4 or 5 games down the road, and I think they're going to be playing a very good level of football. And it is a 10-game season, so it should end, right around the time of the draft. I believe, right before the draft. And the way it's set up, I could talk forever about this because I've read quite a bit about it. But if an NFL team wants a player that's on one of these teams, they are automatically out of their AAF contract and they can go to that team. So it's pretty cool. And then there are a lot of rules for how the players go to certain teams, because there wasn't a draft in this league. They try to do it regionally as much as they can. And I believe that if this season goes well, they might even add. I'm just talking out of my butt here. I don't know this, but I believe they'd probably like to try to get up to at least a 12-team league. Like I said, all the teams so far in the South. And I think they could add four in the North fairly easily, probably, and still keep their kind of geographical system on sending players to different teams. That's all I got this time, guys. I really appreciate you for listening. You can always hit me up at JTheFan1 on Twitter. I don't get on there a lot, but I do check it occasionally when it's not football season. That's all I got, guys. Go Chiefs. Bye.